Welcome in from Overdrive, TSN. Jamie McClellan and Noodles. You know, it really felt like this was going to be a goaltending battle heading into this series. Did it play out that way in your mind as you watched Tampa raise the cup last night?
You know, to a point, Stratty. I think when you look at Andre Vasilevsky and what he was able to do in his body of work throughout the playoffs, and especially in clinching games with the shutouts, it was well deserved for the Conn Smythe. But I thought Carey Price was brilliant to get to the finals. You know, I thought Montreal was overmatched a couple nights, but, you know, Price gave them an opportunity. It was a goaltending battle, but ultimately, when you look at the whole body of work for the Montreal Canadiens and Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, the Lightning were just a better team. And, you know, it's a good measuring stick not only for Montreal to see where they are, but, you know, for other teams in the league to take a look at that and go, yeah, that's how far away we are from the cup. Because, you know, I think there are people that woke up today that don't have as much respect for the Montreal Canadiens as they should. They're thinking that they got lucky, they got on a heater, and all of that. When you actually take a look at the team that won, I thought that they were constructed from top to bottom just fantastically, and that's what it takes to win cups in this league. So when it came to the goaltending battle, I thought, you know, it was kind of as advertised, but really Tampa just outmatched Montreal, and Carey Price couldn't deliver the cup for them.
Noodles, let's pretend you were on the Tampa Bay Lightning last night and you won the Stanley Cup. How many days would it be before you slept, and what would be your drink of choice?
It would be at least 4 days, and I would keep my gear on for 2 days of that and just put some skate guards on, and I would walk around. Actually, I wouldn't even walk around. I would pay somebody to put me in, like, the Hannibal Lecter and wheel me around, because that's how drunk I would be, how non-functioning it would be. By the end, it would be, there's an old movie called Weekend at Bernie's. I would be Bernie. They would just, if I wanted to wave to somebody, there'd be a string that was tied to my arm, and you'd just pull it, and my arm would go up. That's the only movement I would have after 4 days. And my drink of choice would be vodka soda with lime juice or some form of Moscow Mule, but I would stay in the vodka train because I know how I react on that.
You know what's crazy, and I love the way you're talking, because I this morning Stamkos put up the picture of him holding the cup and say, like, something like, it's better when you don't sleep or something like that all night.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I got a good night. I got about 7-8 hours sleep, and I was tired this morning. He must just be so, I can't imagine that feeling of winning the Stanley Cup with your buddies, and they were so close. You could just tell those guys just, they love being with each other, you know? Like, it must be such a special moment.
Yeah, I've often wondered what I would do. I get concerned sometimes for my health when I think of it, because I think, especially back in the day when we were growing up in Edmonton, like, there was that Philip Pritchard, the guy with the blonde hair, the wig, there was no guy that was like was following the cup around. It was just, you got the cup, that's it. And wherever you decided to take it, it ended up at houses, it ended up at strip clubs, it was at bars. Like, can you imagine the stories it could tell? So I sometimes worry that if I ever won the Stanley Cup, like, what would have happened? Would my life ended up different? Would I end up in Thailand floating down a river, kind of like, you know, The Hangover 2 or something like that? I just don't know, but I wish I would have tried to experience it, because I think the closest I ever got was conference finals, and I've played on some pretty good teams, but to get that far, to see the elation and how excited people were. I was texting with a few guys that I know on the team today, and they were having a time. Sounds like they didn't get much sleep last night, if any.
Talking with Jamie McClellan from Overdrive out there in Toronto, former NHL goaltender. Noodles, you know, when you look at you know, now, like, the business of hockey starts, right? Now everyone else can kind of join in. And it feels like there's a lot of names being dropped. Like, we hear Duncan Keith is looking to move to be closer to his family, or, you know, Tarasenko's name comes out. You know, Tampa's going to have to do something to maybe get a little bit more under the cap. So do you think that this is the year where a GM really has to be working those phones and almost have his, like his things available, like the items he's willing to trade ready at his fingertips to jump if there's a deal that makes sense, more so than other years?
I think so. And because of expansion, because that throws a giant wrench into it, you're going to see some really good players available and a team going to hell with it. I'm not going to give Seattle this guy for free. I'm going to try and get something out of it. So all I keep thinking about is the marketplace, is it going to be saturated? Is it going to be clogged with really good players? Because teams are like, we're going to lose this guy anyways. We might as well try and maximize it. So you're right. If you're a guy like Ken Holland, you have to, in your mind, have to, you know, almost lay out a plan where you've got to figure out what you're willing to part with and, you know, if that asking price just comes about. You know, I keep thinking, like, Tampa last night wins the Cup, and the business of hockey starts, I guess, today, or the buyout window starts tonight at 11 o'clock. So there's going to be some players get bought out that's going to, you know, relieve some cap pressure. But I keep thinking of a guy like Ryan McDonagh. You know, is he going to be available in Tampa? They don't want to make him available, but all of a sudden you've got this, like, really good player that might be there, and Tyler Johnson, and, you know, are they going to have to do something with, you know, one of their other core players just to get under the cap? And that's the business. So if I'm Ken Holland, I'm looking at not only Tampa, but I'm looking at other teams that we might not even think of and go, does Anaheim have somebody that I like, or L.A., or, you know, that Seattle might grab, and then you could trade with Seattle. So it's really, I think it's a spicy meatball, because you're looking at so many different scenarios that could come down the pike. So you have to be ready for anything to kind of get thrown at you.
Yeah, and so going back to the Duncan Keith scenario, you know, yeah. I'm not sure if you got a lot of chance to watch him last year. If I'm being completely honest,
I
maybe watched. Did you? Okay, so what do you see with Duncan Keith as far as, I guess, what he has left, what he could, and what he would contribute to the Oilers if a deal is you know, consummated?
Okay, so he's not going to be a top pairing guy, and I don't think anybody's looking for that. So I. The one thing I like think about when I think of a guy like Duncan Keith being linked to Edmonton is what he can bring to the table to help young guys grow as well. Because to survive in this league, you have to have, obviously, the pedigree, but you still have to be able to skate. You still have to be able to contribute. So a guy like Chara, he aged well, but he went from playing, you know, in his 20s to power play, then he, you know, 5-on-5, and now he's a penalty kill specialist and got by on experience. Shea Weber is going to age well because he wasn't the fastest player in the world, but he uses his body well, uses the long stick. Duncan Keith can still skate. That's the one thing when I watch Chicago, and believe me, I watch them a lot this year. I don't know why, but I ended up just, they fell in a time slot that I got a chance to watch them quite a bit. And, you know, Duncan can still get there. You know, there's times where I think he gets maybe overwhelmed with some of the pressure, especially with how physical the game can get with the speed of the players, but he can still skate. And his decision-making's fine, everything there, but he just doesn't have to play on your top pairing. So, you know, if Caleb Jones is still there, or you're looking at your left side, and you've got young players, like Darnell Nurse is your one. So you're not worried about, you know, him taking Darnell's spot. What you could do is have him on a third pairing, and if somebody struggles in that second pairing slot, he can go in and out of there. Like, I think if I was Edmonton and if I was Winnipeg, I'd be looking at Duncan Keith, because that's what Winnipeg was missing, was a second pairing left shot defenseman. And instead of going to get a guy like Jamie Oleksiak, they have Jamie Oleksiak, just a younger version of him, in Logan Stanley. So what they did is they allowed Logan Stanley to continue to grow. Well, if you get a guy like Duncan Keith in Winnipeg, Logan Stanley can be slotted a little bit better, and he can push Duncan Keith down in the lineup. That may be the same scenario in Edmonton, if you believe Jones. I'm drawing a blank on the left-handed shot. You like him. He's more of a stay-at-home defenseman.
Willie Lagesson. Yeah, Willie
Lagesson.
But he's
like,
further
like
down
that,
the line. Yeah,
you can slot Duncan a little bit farther down if those guys push him out. So I don't see a downside of that if the money in, money out works. And I, you know, if he's over $5 million, but if it's a James Neal situation, if it's a Koskinen situation that you move out some of that, and I'm going to say this respectfully, dead money, that, you know, guys that wouldn't contribute or live up to their contract, then he might be worth a flyer, depending on the, I guess, price that's going out.
Now, joined by Jamie McCullough from Overdrive and TSN in Toronto. Noodles, when you look at the goaltending situation of Edmonton, I'm on record suggesting you can't have them both back. No. Unfortunately, you know, Mikko has the contract. It's quite heavy. Yeah. I don't know there'd be a market for that, even at 50%. But, you know, how would you handle that, manage this situation for the Edmonton Oilers and specifically to their goaltending situation, which probably needs an upgrade in the short term and long term?
Well, if you're bringing Mike Smith back, which it sounds like you're going to, and he'll be on a value contract at 39 years old, and he's a guy who can give you, as we saw this year, he can give you starter minutes or backup minutes. But what you need is somebody else now. Like, and I don't know if it's Mikko Koskinen. I thought there were times when Koskinen played really well when his workload wasn't challenged. And, you know, Mike Smith gets the injury, Koskinen has to play 13 games to start the season, and he wasn't sharp. But, you know, I think if you've got to look for an upgrade in that position. I'm not sure if that's Driger, if it's Mrazek, if it's one of the guys out of Columbus, Merliskins or Korpisalo. Like, there's some really good goaltenders that are available. And I'm just not of the belief that you just bring somebody in on the cheap and you just hope that patchwork works. You know, if you're Edmonton, you need to take the next step. And I always say, like, take a look at your competition. The guy down the road makes $6 million a year and in Markstrom, and he's a hell of a goaltender. The guy to the east of you in Hellebuck is a $6 million goaltender, and he's arguably one of the best on the planet. So when you start to take a look at the competition surrounding you, that Demko's a hell of a player, too. So you need to kind of keep up with everything. It's not just patchwork here or there. You know, that's why it's interesting with a guy like Christopher Driger's name being floated. He's 27 years old. I like Mrazek. I mentioned the two other goaltenders out of Columbus. Like, there is going to be a lot of shuffling around, and Ken has to decide who he likes and how much he wants to spend. But I think you do have to have a different look in net.
Noodles, 15 years ago today, I was married here in Edmonton. You were at my wedding along with guys like Tyson Nash and Iggy. And, you know, I told my party planner, said, guys, we need a lot of cocktails and such, vodka and stuff. Oh, we've never ordered this much for this many people. It'll be fine. 2 hours into the event, the guy comes up. He's like, we're out. I'm like, what do you mean you're out? He's like, they've drank us dry. So someone had to run out and got a bunch of vodka. So it was a great night, and you guys had a great time on my dime. But my question for you is, it's my anniversary tonight. Is there anything special I should do for my wife, Shona? You know, we're going out for dinner, but should I dress up or just wear the tight pants? Like, how would you handle this 15th year of marriage anniversary?
I would suggest you reach for the check for once. That might help. Poor Shona's had to pay for 15 years. I mean, alligator arms. I know you got the tight pants and you think you still got it going on. How about you pick up a check once in a while? That would start. That might get you a little action 15 years later, but I can't believe it's been 15 years. I don't have much recollection of that night because I think I helped contribute to all the vodka disappearing, but that was one of the best weddings I've ever been to. It was a very, very unique crowd in there, and a lot of dancing and a lot of enjoyment. But, yes, I would say if you want to spice the marriage up a little bit, pay the tab. Pay the tab and start from there, and then maybe some flowers or something. Buy a gift. The gift isn't just staring at your face every morning, waking up to it. You gotta step outside your comfort zone.
Well, I actually made a mistake. Last year, I got my wife a card for the anniversary. She didn't get me one. So I just assumed we weren't getting cards anymore. So I get up this morning. She gives me a card. I don't have a card. And I still don't have a card. So I don't know what I have to do. I might have to get a serenader at dinner tonight or something, because it's not off to a good start, buddy. Not off to the second 15 years.
You know what it is?
Not good.
You just stop at a gas station on the way home and get her a gift card. That's the go-to now for the lazy husband. It's like the five restaurant gift card for $50. and it's got the Swiss Chalet and you name it. Eastside Mario's on it. That's what you're looking at. McDonald's. I heard you chirping me about McDonald's coming in. So that's, I think, what's going to do it. But I think there's got to be something else. Like, tell me that at least there's a present or something.
No, pretty tight, pretty tight. Well, you know, I'm gonna have to rethink. Maybe tomorrow I'll run out and get something nice. You know, the nice gift card or two of them, maybe.
You'll be laying in bed tonight on your phone, and you'll email her a gift card.
I'll text you later for ideas, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks for having me.